You are listening to Jackson Scanberg's Smooth Sailing. Tonight's broadcast was recorded on February 6th of 2021.
Welcome to Smooth Sailing on WJEB 101.1 FM, Milwaukee's finest country radio. Today, I will be having Mitch Hendricks on to talk to us about food-related topics. But before that, the weather. First of all, the moon rose today and the sun came out, so that's pretty good. Past that, it's been very cold in Milwaukee. And it's only going to get colder, unfortunately. Unless you like the cold, then good for you. Good for you. You're going to be happy for the next couple days as it gets down to negative 40-ish with wind chill. Mr. Hendricks, are you there?
Yes, I'm going to be here all night long.
Mr. Hendricks is in the call, however, he is not responding. Perhaps he has not recognized he is muted. Mr. Hendricks.
Huh?
Well, continuing on with the news, I suppose. SpaceX launched a rocket this week, and it went up in flames. Just like the iteration of the rocket. If you're wondering the name of that rocket that just kind of exploded, it is the SN9. The SN8 exploded, and the SN10, I believe, is still sitting somewhere. It was near the launch pad of SN9 when it exploded. The general damages to it have not been reported, but it is still generally intact.
Do you hear me now, Jackson?
Mr. Bilkey is calling in to the program to ask if I'm smoking crack on the job. No, Mr. Bilkey, I am not smoking crack on the job. I do not condone the use of crack either.
Bruh.
In other news, Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos said that he would be stepping down from his CEO position. I forget if he's stepping down from his CEO well, he's stepping down from CEO, definitely, but I also believe he is leaving the Amazon company in its entirety, which is interesting. Jeff Bezos, formerly the richest man in the world, now that is Elon Musk of Tesla and SpaceX. I can hear you.
How bad does it sound?
Sounds all right.
Okay. Are we talking food now?
Yes, Mr. Hendricks, we're talking food.
Poggers champion.
Speaking of... Speaking of food, sorry about that slick air. Mr. Hendricks, I heard that there is going to be a massive food event coming up very soon, and by very soon I mean within the next 24 hours.
Yes. Unfortunately, our lovely Green Bay Packers didn't exactly make it to the Super Bowl. However, American Dining Creations is certainly hitting it out of the park with their brand new, they're having a one sec. Mr. Bilkey, our manager, is telling me to do something.
I'm not employed by Mr. Bilkey.
Oh, yeah. So they're serving, like, Super Bowl sort of food. I could pull up the poster if you want and read it, but I'm not sure how many people are going to be listening to this after, before the event actually takes place.
Mr. Hendricks, why don't you explain your title of food man in the meantime?
Oh, yeah. So, I pulled the poster up. I can pull it up.
Yeah.
So, food man is a quite interesting job. I represent the lovely MSOE Residence Halls Association. Our meetings are from 6 p.m. to 6:30, if they don't run long, on Mondays. I invite everybody to show up and listen to the melodious sounds of me and John Shields. I talk about the food. John Shields talks about everything else. It's a great way to get involved in MSOE. I was selected as the food contract. I was selected as the person who does food. So... pretty much, I'm supposed to represent Residence Halls Association at monthly meetings with American Dining Creations, which is our food contractor. So pretty much, I'm like, hey, your food sucks. My job's to make sure... I want to make sure everybody gets a very good value with their meal plan. So that's my job. And I'm pulling up the events here. Normally, I announce these sorts of food events, too, in the RHA teams. So, let me find the menu for the new Super Bowl dinner.
While you do that, you said that you were chosen to be food man. Were you elected?
Not an election. It was kind of like, hey, can you do this? And I was like, okay.
Why and you?
I honestly don't know. I think they just found that I have quite the passion for the subject. I used to be a fry cook at White Castle for a summer, so I kind of know how things work around there. A lot of people in my family come from food service, so I think they just saw that I had a passion for quality food, and I was cheap enough to want to get a very good bargain on our meal plan. So... I got suckered into it because John Shields III goes home on Mondays and he couldn't make the food meetings, but the food meetings got moved to Fridays now. So a couple weeks from now, I'll be going to a meeting with a few other student org representatives and talking about our meal plan. And I pulled up the poster if you want me to read that first.
Sure, you can read that now.
All right, so for the Super Bowl, they're having an appetizer bar with spinach and artichoke dip, nachos, soft pretzels, and quesadillas with salsa and sour cream. They're having buffalo chicken pizza and Italian grinders. And at the grill station, they're serving a brat burger with beer cheese and caramelized onions served on the pretzel roll with a jalapeno and a pineapple relish. It might be a separate menu option, but I'm not sure. And then they're serving a chicken fajita salad as well. So hopefully I see everybody there eating the Super Bowl food and this event goes well because I like these sorts of things.
Mr. Hendricks, what do you mean by quality food when you say you come from a background of quality food? Do you describe White Castle as quality food?
Oh, God, no. My mother is an excellent home cook. Like, she used to work in the, both my mother and my uncle used to work in the same restaurant in a town called Oak Forest, Illinois. So they both worked there for a while. I think my mom was doing salads and stuff for a little bit. But instead of going, my uncle ended up going to a culinary school called Washburn, and he's an executive chef in Orlando. Right now, he just started there. And my mom went to a, my mom ended up just getting a job in like a car dealership. Actually, the same job my grandma had. But my mom's a very good cook. Like, no, there's nobody in my family that is known to be bad at cooking. Unless you get, like, a few cousins away and stuff. Like, I just like good food. And I was surrounded by it. And I know that's not something a lot of people get to have.
Mitch, what is the biggest food mishap that you have ever had while cooking? Does anything come to the top of your mind?
Well, me cooking personally?
Yes.
So every once in a while at White Castle, you'd get, while you're working fryers, you'd get the sometimes you get a little bit of oil on your arm. Trying to think of something worse, because I'm certainly not very precise. One time I put a cold plate in the microwave and cracked it by accident because I did not know how the things worked. That was like the worst mishap I've had. Oh wait, one more thing. I was microwaving a bag of microwave popcorn by Kroger. Now, Kroger is an evil corporation, and they suddenly changed the bag size on me. Normally, the popcorn bags open a little bit when they're done. So I left it in there. It didn't open. It went for like 4 minutes. And then I opened it. It smelled terrible. I set off the smoke alarm in my dorm room, almost set off the fire alarms for the dorm building, and I still have the popcorn in my desk to this day. Not the bag, but I have the rest of the box in there because I'm too scared to accidentally set the smoke alarm off again. That was the worst incident I've had.
You still have the popcorn in your dorm room? How long has this been?
I don't have the actual, like I said, I don't have that particular bag. The bags come in boxes of six. I have the other five.
Okay. But how long have you had it and not consumed any popcorn?
Let me think. I remember buying Haritos. I want to say it was about 3 weeks ago. Popcorn doesn't really go bad, though. There probably is an expiration date, but it's December 1st, 2021. So.
A little while back, you said that Kroger is an evil corporation. I don't know much about the food corporations of America. Can you please tell us the major food vendors of America and their stereotypes, for lack of a better term?
So, besides like local supermarket chains, which I found a notable lack of in the Milwaukee area, maybe it's because I'm not in the suburbs, but you get the, I'm going to exclude places like Target and Walmart because like those are kind of cheap shots. They just sell everything. Now, you have the two big corporations, from what I know. You have Albertsons, which owns Jewel Osco. Albertsons, obviously, Safeway for those listeners out west, and a bunch of other grocery stores. And then you have Kroger. Kroger is also owns Roundy's. They own both Pick and Save and Metro Market, which are basically the only places to go in Milwaukee besides Woodman's and a few other local places. Food for Less around Chicago, City Market out west. I think they own Davis Supermarkets, too. I'm not sure. But Kroger is a cut. Yeah. Albertsons is pretty all right as a grocery store. I have a. Jewel Osco is a little bit expensive, but their products are all right. Kroger is evil. My mom bought two bags of expired pretzels on two different days from the Food for Less in Oak Forest, Illinois. Don't shop there. It has like 3 stars on Google reviews because they keep serving people expired pretzels. They like anything more half-assed than Albertsons. Like, Metro Market around here by MSOE's campus has a rather dumb layout. So does Pick and Save. It's just stupid, honestly.
What do you define as a dumb layout?
So, do you know how you go into a normal grocery store and it's just like 12 straight aisles, some number of straight aisles from the back to the front of the store?
Yes.
And they put all the milk in the back?
Typically.
Pick and Save kind of does that, but has a giant wall in the middle of the store separating the produce from the rest of the store, which just doesn't really make sense to me. Metro Market has aisles that run in both directions. Half of the store, after you go through the deli, you can enter in one door. After you go through the deli, which runs front to back, all the actual grocery aisles run side to side in the store, except for the ones near the front, which runs front to back in the freezer section, which runs front to back. It's just a mess. It's cluttered and rather unfriendly to get around. I don't want to think. I just want to buy my groceries.
Isn't it? Do you think it could be because of the real estate location of the store, though?
I mean, maybe. This is
the most expensive part of Milwaukee to probably own real estate in.
I mean, maybe, but here's the thing. They could just orient the horizontal rows. They could just rotate them by 90 degrees and just change the lengths of the shelves. There's nothing stopping them from making straight aisles.
Well, wouldn't they have to take out all the shelves and reinstall them in a different, well, 90 degrees to the right or to the left?
One, they could have done that when the grocery store first opened. Two, it's rather common for grocery stores whenever they have like a design change or they're getting any kind of big renovation or anything, is common practice for grocery stores to change the layout of the store where things are stocked based on seasonal demands, and they're trying to get people confused so they spend more time in the store. Maybe that's why it's laid out really weird. But like Menards were... I'll give some few famous examples. Menards starts moving stuff around for Christmas in July. In order to make room for the Christmas stuff, the Menards near my house has to move shit around for Christmas. It's 5 months before Christmas. More famously, in terms of layout, IKEA is designed so people have to walk through the entire store to get to the exit. That's why there's all the arrows on the ground and all the maze-like pathways that you could get lost in. They're trying to get you to spend a ton of time in the store so you find some random like Swedish-named trinket like Le Ped or something, and then you buy it because you ran into it because you got lost. That's what they're trying to do.
Do you have something against the Swedish, Mr. Hendrix?
I have nothing against the Swedish. There is a thing for flat pack furniture that I do. I like flat pack furniture. It's pretty all right, but it's really conditioned on what kind of furniture you're getting. Like, if flat pack furniture makes sense, it's just some of it feels rather flimsy in quality. I will say they have some pretty damn good meatballs at IKEA.
They serve food at IKEA. I've never been to one. I'm going to be very honest here.
You've never been to an IKEA?
I have never been to an IKEA or a Piggy.
Okay, Piggly Wiggly I'd understand because there's not many in our part of Chicago. IKEA is like a rite of passage these days. IKEA has a restaurant in it because they want to keep people in the store that much. It's actually not even a restaurant. It's closer to a cafeteria. Like, you get a tray, you go through, and you're like, hey, give me some of those balls. And they give you some meatballs and lingonberry jam. They have lingonberry juice at the IKEA, which is actually quite good. I should find some of that and buy it for my dorm food. It's all like, they have a cafeteria, but it's all surprisingly good food for being a grocery store. Not even a grocery store, a furniture store of all places.
Do you know who supplies IKEA with their food by any chance?
I have no idea, but wouldn't surprise me if, like, Costco. I think IKEA's food is actually made in-house, honestly. Because if you're in the downstairs, like by the exit, there's another small lunch counter which provides, they sell the food that IKEA has in their restaurant. And there's a bag of Swedish meatballs you can buy. There's like a brick of lingonberry juice concentrate. And it's all IKEA branded. Now, I'm not sure if they subcontract this out to local manufacturers, but it wouldn't surprise, they are big enough on a scale to vertically integrate and produce their own meatballs, like the Costco hot dog. Have you heard about the Costco hot dog, Captain Jackson?
I've heard somewhat about the Costco hot dog. I know you can buy hot dogs, and I don't know if they're anything special.
Oh, for lunch?
Yes.
So, IKEA might have a situation like that. So, funny story. Costco, as a gimmick, used to have, you could get a hot dog, and you get a decently sized hot dog and a decently sized drink for $1.50. Apparently, they used to have Polish sausage, but I'm not sure of the accuracy of this statement. So, what happened was, I think their contractor for the hot dogs was Nathan's Hot Dogs. Nathan's Hot Dogs tried to raise the prices, so Costco instead made a factory which would make their own hot dogs to be sold at their own lunch counter. So, they literally vertically integrated their hot dogs in order to keep the price $1.50. In order to, like, when they got a new CEO, the outgoing CEO told the new one, don't change the price of the damn hot dog or something like that. Or if you change the price of the hot dog, I'll kill you. They are very passionate about keeping the hot dog cheap, and I feel like IKEA could be the same way.
But aren't most IKEA counters closed right now due to COVID?
Probably. I mean, some areas have rather lax regulations. They might be opening up. I'll look it up right now. IKEA.
I just looked it up, in fact, and it seems like most of them are closed. However, they do take out from what I've seen.
Do you think?
Yeah, so you can still get the meatballs. You know how you mentioned there was kind of like a to-go lunch counter downstairs in the store? That's the only way you can get it now, but they'll give it to you to go.
Do you think maybe our interesting alien fellow that showed up on prior podcasts or prior episodes, do you think he would be willing to give us a ride to the IKEA here in Milwaukee so we could get some meatballs?
I don't know if he is listening right now. However, we are currently on the air.
I think a spaceship ride would be possible.
If you want to go on a spaceship ride with the alien to an IKEA someday, that sounds perfectly reasonable.
Yeah.
But going back to food suppliers, IKEA, it seems like it's supplied by an actual Swedish company, which makes sense for their meatballs. No, Mitch, that picture is not of Amy Schumer. Mitch, why do you hate Amy Schumer?
She steals all of her jokes, acts like she's funny, but she isn't. Like, I don't... A lot of people make the claim that people don't like Amy Schumer because she's a woman. I don't. I hate her because she sucks.
My favorite one.
My favorite Schumer is her uncle, who is right now the majority leader in the House of Representatives. He seems pretty all right. Like, not great because he's a sleazy politician, just like all of them, but pretty all right.
Going back from our little tangent with Amy Schumer, back to food suppliers. Mitch, we're supplied by ADC, American Dining Creations. What can you tell us about ADC?
American Dining Creations is a subsidiary of American Food and Vending, and they're based out of Rochester, New York. I know I looked them up on Google reviews when MSOE announced the plans. They went from having one star. Actually, I think it actually shot up to 3.4 stars on the, it's up to 3.4 stars on Google reviews, up from one.
That's pretty good.
One of the reviews was, this company serves my school. It isn't really the best at all. Mushy fruit, bad recipes, wouldn't recommend. Unfortunately, our manager is very passionate. Shout out to Mr. Jeff Latay, or as we like to call him, Tony, for doing a very good job. You could tell he gives it his all.
And how did this Jeff Latay get his nickname of Tony?
Okay, so this guy, Jeff Latay, grew up in New York. He sounds like he grew up in New York. A lot of people in New York who are Italian are named Tony. So I think this is where the name come from. We just started calling him Tony because he literally has like the New York accent and everything, but he lives in Wisconsin for some reason.
Mitch, isn't that a stereotype?
You have a good point. I did not coin the term Tony. He doesn't mind it though. And a lot of the
knows?
Yeah, and one of the Residence Halls Association meetings, John Shields ratted us out. He's like, or some like to call him Tony, and he just started laughing. He has a rather good sense of humor. He's also very passionate about his bananas, because we've been having banana issues a few days ago on campus. And he approached me about it, and he's like, yeah, I stopped ordering those bananas from the contractor because they taste like shit.
He said that to you in public.
He said that to me in public. Like, he lowered his voice a little bit, but you could tell he cares about his job, which I appreciate in a food manager.
What can you say? I've heard from you in the past that there have been some complications on the recipes, and that one review you just read also mentioned the recipes. What can you tell us about their given recipes, if you know what I mean?
Oh. What do you mean by given? Like, what's the problem with the food now?
Well, it appears that trans fats are in some of the food. However,
it seems
like their recipes are false, among other things, as they claim that they don't use trans fats.
So, Mr. Scanberg, I think I told you this earlier in a personal conversation, and you stole my answer to make a question, which is all right. I like entertainment. I sound like an asshole. I'm sorry. Don't hurt me, please. But so, funny story. American Food and Vending, on their AmeriFit app, which stores nutrition information, there are three different recipes for fish and chips. They posted the wrong one. However, the meatloaf is shown to have 1.5 grams of trans fat per serving, about. So I'm wondering if they're posting the wrong recipe or if they actually use trans fats and I've been lied to and deceived.
What do you think, there's any issue with a lack of updating their recipes online? Because some people go off of these for health reasons.
Yeah, there is an issue for failing to update these recipes. Some people are trying to lose weight here. They need to know how much fat's in the food. So it's like, oh, this has 500 grams of fat. I won't eat this today. Like, they need to know that. They need to know that some people can't eat very large amounts of salt. A lot of people have, like, you know, especially the elderly, they have blood pressure issues, and they can't be eating salt. They can't eat, like, a fucking... I shouldn't have said that word. They can't eat a tablespoon of salt. Like, that information is important to put on there. It should be as transparent as possible so nobody has a giant salt overdose because they have a medical condition and they've been deceived into thinking the food is good for them.
Mitch, what do you think about the infamous zero-calorie cookie, or also known as the void cookie recipe?
I think American Dining Creations. Okay, so if you eat this cookie, right, you gain energy, right? Like, you say you feel fuller.
I think we should explain what the void cookie is first. So if you don't know, listeners, the void cookie is a recipe that American Dining Creations has up for their cookies, which they serve every day, which claims that you can intake grams of... If you intake a gram of this cookie, you will only gain energy with no downsides. You don't gain any calories, which I guess is the unit of energy. Sorry, I said that wrong. You can intake mass without any change in energy. It's a recipe that has no information and only a serving size.
So, here are my thoughts on these cookies. So, when you eat the cookie, you say you feel full, right? Can you claim that you are being energized by the cookie?
You should be.
Therefore, you eat the cookie and you are energized by it. Oh, here's the thing, too. The cookies could just be rocks, sometimes with their firmness. I believe so. For example, if you eat a double chocolate cookie, though, this issue's gone. So these cookies obviously have some sort of magical property where they generate calories by themselves with no work being put in to give them energy in the first place. Therefore, I think American Dining Creations has accidentally figured out an infinite source of energy for the world, and they are unwise to retain it in as consumption. They could make a ton of money off of this.
You claim that AFV has somehow found a way to break the second law of thermodynamics?
AFV has broken the second law of thermodynamics. Maybe it's not as interesting as the totally true perpetual motion machines, but like, I feel like they're on the something here. I think ADC might be an energy company.
Maybe in disguise?
Yes, maybe they got the technology from aliens or something.
Do you know if ADC is a publicly traded company? Maybe our listeners should invest in them. Or AFP.
I don't think they're being short traded on this, the thing.
It sounds like Mr. Hendricks is looking it up right now.
Yes, it does.
I don't think they do have stock, unfortunately.
Yeah, if they transition to energy, that would be a good investment.
Do you think the A in ADC, do you think it means alien dining company? Because I feel like it must have some pretty alien technology if they discovered how to break the second law of thermodynamics. Because even humanity's most intelligent minds haven't been able to figure that out.
Mr. Hendricks, do you believe in aliens?
Yes.
Why?
Well, think about it. Well, first off, there's a bunch of... The Earth is the perfect distance from the sun to sustain life. Inevitably, because of how big the universe is, there's going to be another planet that's the correct distance from some other random star, like Joe Blow the star. Like, some other planet's going to be in that sweet spot in the solar system to sustain life. There used to be a planet. There used to be two Earth-like planets, and then they hit each other, and one became the moon. So there must be some other kind of life out there. Like, if there isn't, I wouldn't be too surprised, but I feel like there almost certainly has to be, given the size of the universe, how big they talk about it being.
Do you think we have made contacts with aliens, Mr. Hendricks, besides ADC?
Past ancient Egypt, I don't think they did. I think they just spy on us. Like, if they helped build the pyramids, I feel like that makes sense, because I'm not sure how many... Do you have any idea how many people it would take to shove a giant brick up a giant pyramid?
Enough. A lot, and I'm pretty sure the ancient Egyptians had, quote, enough.
Well, here's the thing, too. What kind of earthling would have the sensibility to build a Bass Pro Shop in Memphis, Tennessee in the shape of a pyramid? It's completely foreign. I have no idea who would do that. So do you think maybe the aliens would have done it because they were in disguise? Do you think maybe they put it here full of economical fishing products to help humanity stay happy while they gradually grow us in order to be harvested in the future years?
Mr. Hendricks, maybe they chose to build the Bass Pro Shop in Memphis, Tennessee in the shape of a pyramid because Memphis, Egypt is also very close to where the pyramids were constructed. The ancient city of Memphis, Egypt, I should say.
I don't buy it. I think we're all being harvested for cattle.
It's possible that whatever purpose the pyramids were intended to perform is degrading over time and they had to build a new one. And given that people have shifted to live more on this continent, of course there were people here before, our people, but not to the numbers that we are at now. So with the shifting population, they need to plant another pyramid operation on our continent.
That's a very good point, but why wouldn't there be a pyramid in Southeast Asia?
I'm sure there are pyramids. There's some in South America. I mean, many cultures have been found to have pyramid-shaped structures.
Do you think maybe it's the Illuminati, too, or no?
No. Mr. Hendricks, you do realize that the pyramid is a very basic shape.
Yeah, it's a bunch of triangles next to a square.
Yes. Do you think it would have been hard for these ancient civilizations to realize what a pyramid is and build a giant one of them?
Yes, because the square was only invented. The square is an invention of modern times.
The square is an invention of modern times.
Yes.
How recent?
You know, you didn't hear back in like 1925. This is probably, no, I misremembered. It was about 1924, actually, or 23, somewhere around there. It was hugely covered up because of the impeachment of Warren G. Harding. Some man named Jebediah D. Square in this lovely state of Mississippi invented a rectangle, but all of a sudden, he invented some kind of weird love child between a rectangle and a rhombus, where all four sides were parallel. And we're the same length.
And that is a square.
Yes.
But are you saying humans invented the square in 1924, despite pyramids existing for thousands of years before that?
Well, pyramids and, you know, concepts like the Pythagorean theorem, of course, those were ancient, but only half of a square.
Well, here's the thing. So, let me think here. Agriculture developed in multiple countries independent from each other. A lot of people had the same idea in the early days of agriculture. So, like, why couldn't this planet? I think this planet developed a square independently of aliens, and all existing squares were built by some kind of outside force if they were built before 1924, when the square was invented natively. Now, this is why you don't see any triangular-shaped buildings today, because the square was invented, and they all realized, hold on, this is a lot more better looking than the triangle. Triangles simply fell out of fashion in 1924. They fell out of fashion to the point where they started doctoring out triangular shaped buildings that were commonplace in the early 1920s and replacing them with fake facades of square buildings.
And when was the triangle invented?
Oh, everybody knows the triangle was invented in ancient times, probably shortly after the discovery of fire. Because, you know, you build the little teepee to make the fire, and they were like, gee, I really wish there was a better way to describe this. Or maybe like how a pine tree looks. Somebody really liked pine trees, so they invented a shape. Or like, what happens if I take a slice out of a cone in a very particular fashion to make in the conic section, and that's how the triangle was invented.
But Mr. Hendricks, by your logic, then humans have the ability to derive shapes by looking at things. Why didn't they just look at the base of the pyramid or any other square structure and derive the square?
Because nobody thought about it. It was considered such a revolutionary concept at the time that anybody who thought about taking a horizontal slice from a pyramid was considered insane, and they would be locked up. Now, in some of the few circumstances where they actually managed to do this, it turned out it was just a rectangle anyways. That's how the rectangle was derived. Because nobody really built perfect squares at the time. They didn't know what a perfect square was, so they just built rectangles after somebody looked at one of the alien pyramids horizontally.
So, by your logic, the car was invented before the square.
Yes. Why do you think engine cylinders are round? Why do you think they used a bunch of why do you think all cars were made out of flowing lines before the 1970s, where they shifted to boxes on wheels?
Maybe you're right. Maybe the square hadn't been invented before the car. Truly a fascinating topic, Mr. Hendricks. But that only brings the question, how many times have the aliens interfered in human civilization if the square has been so prevalent, but no one was able to notice it until 1924. And by no one, I mean no one human.
Mm-hmm. There have been a few cases of aliens interfering. I think the aliens interfered in, like, only the big points in history, like giant turning points that might doom the human race, like building the pyramids. Building the pyramids was a special case because they actually had some aliens, they had some drones that they planted on the planet working on the pyramids, and they wanted them to succeed, so they helped build the pyramids correctly. Like, one of the planners was an alien. So they were like, hey, show them this cool shape. They'll love us. But don't tell them it's us. They'll love you. You'll be regarded well. And we want to make sure you can lead Egypt to a path of success. So the aliens intervened in three important historic events, but not much more, honestly. They helped to build the pyramids to some extent. They helped in the Crusades. And they helped during the American Revolutionary War. They helped George Washington win against the British.
How did they help in the Crusades? Let's start there.
So they actually hindered the English. They realized that when they need to harvest us in the future. Now, you have to admit, if one of the Crusades succeeded and the Holy Land turned Christian again, or turned to the Holy Land, I guess.
Mr. Hendricks, two things. One, the First Crusade was won by the Christians, and it was under Christian control for a bit. Two, the English did not participate in the Crusades. So let's carry on to the next example.
Hold on, I was not done explaining.
Okay, go on.
So, they realized by the Second Crusade, hold on, if everybody is Christian, it's just like eating a bowl, it's like eating the Lucky Charms without any marshmallows in it, or just one kind of marshmallow. So they helped out, they helped hinder...
I don't think I understand your analogy, can you please elaborate?
Imagine a fruit salad. Or a can of fruit cocktail. Yeah, imagine a can of fruit cocktail. Have you ever had fruit cocktail?
No.
Fruit salad. Have you ever had fruit salad?
Yes.
So imagine a fruit salad with only watermelon. The aliens realized that if the Christians took the Holy Land and effectively helped to dismantle the other religions, everybody would be a watermelon. Their fruit salad would suck in about 10,000 years when they would come to Earth and harvest all of us. So they realized that they should really not help the Christians out during this crusade. So they realized that in order to diversify their flavors in their fruit salad, to get some cherries in there, some peaches, some, I don't know, grapes, they had to help the Christians fail. And that is what they did, by wishing them a bunch of bad luck with their alien magic. And the station manager is asking me, what dressing do you like on your fruit salad? I don't even though they put dressing on fruit salad. But I guess if I had to pick, I'd pick a nice brown gravy on my fruit salad.
Okay. And what about the American Revolution?
So, aliens have a very good knowledge of statistics. They realized that the British would win. And they realized that if the British won, there was a sense of freedom that they liked in the American people. They wanted a bold flavor in their fruit salad. They needed something strong. They needed a nice brown gravy to go into the fruit salad. And the Americans provided that. They did not want them being squandered by the evil British. So the aliens, with their alien magic, effectively committed RNG manipulation, and they had it set up. They set up the Revolutionary War. They set the parameters.
What is RNG manipulation? What does that stand for?
Random number generator manipulation. In computer games, like the simulation we're all living in, there are certain numbers that just... The computer cannot spit out a truly random number. There is some kind of like... They have a seed, and then they do things to it. And if they reverse engineer the seed, they could figure out what's happening to it and effectively force the random generator, the random number generator that runs the world, they can force it to display certain numbers. This is what they did during the revolution. They forced the random number that would determine who wins into the American favor so that they would not lose the bold flavor of the colonists in their salad.
Wind manipulation. Literal or metaphoric?
Literal.
Interesting.
They made the wind blow so hard that it killed some of the brain cells in the British troops. That is what occurred. This made them tactically inept and effectively caused the Americans to win the revolution, thanks to alien help.
Well, with that, Mr. Hendrix, it is 7:01, and we are going to take our halfway through the stream break. Thank you for being here with us.
How long's the break? I get one song, right?
Yeah, the break is one song.
Okay. We've been listening to Smooth Sailing on WJEB. Take us away.
Yep, okay. And we are back after the end of that song. That was Kokomo by Beach Boys. Anyways, Mitchell Hendricks, welcome back.
Very good break music you had there. I kind of want to get down to Florida myself one of these days.
Mr. Hendricks, have you ever been down to Florida? You said your uncle was a executive chef in Orlando. What experience do you have with the great state of Florida? Or as some call it, the infamous void of Florida.
So, pretty much, state of Florida is a quite interesting state. My main issue with Florida is that it's just hot and humid all the time. However, I do kind of like Florida. I have to, it's a little bit of a guilty pleasure. I don't know why. It's just that being in the middle of nowhere in the south is different than being in the middle of nowhere up north. Florida is my favorite state, but I like it. I just like not being in Illinois. I feel like it has its charms. I've been to Pensacola once, and I really liked it. Pensacola is kind of crappy, but it ain't bad. There's multiple restaurants around there called the Shrimp Basket. They're really good. I've been to Orlando. Disney World's obviously a nice place to go. Just a little bit hot in Orlando. And I've been to Miami. I've been to Miami once. It's actually pretty all right. It's like being in GTA Vice City.
What do you mean by that, Mr. Hendricks?
I don't know. It's just like you feel... It's the place where you put on a Hawaiian shirt and then do a bunch of crimes.
Ignoring the crime part, do you enjoy Hawaiian shirts, Mr. Hendricks?
Yes, I wish I wore them more. However, I have to worry about hanging them up. Now, they're kind of hard to put on, and I need the right pair of pants to do it. And I don't like their pants that much. I don't like the pairs of pants. I don't like dress pants or cargo shorts that much personally, but I do like Hawaiian shirts. I feel like I look good in them. I can pull them off. They fit my rather colorful personality and sense of language.
You did not mention... What do you think of Tampa?
I've never been to Tampa, so I cannot say. I will say that the only impression I have of Tampa is not very good. I feel like Tampa's just off-brand calmer Miami. The thing is with Tampa, there was a big bridge called the Sunshine Skyway Bridge that a boat just ran into. So there was a massive bridge that just fell into a bay, I think. And, like, I feel like that's authentically Floridian. I feel like Tampa's just, like, a generic Florida city, like Fort Myers.
What do you mean by authentic Floridian? What does Floridian mean to you?
Rather stupid.
Do you believe in the stereotype of the Florida man?
Oh, yeah. Of course I do.
Do you have any tournament stories that you can remember off the top of your head?
There was somebody who shot at a man 99 times in the state of Florida, hit the man once in the buttock. The victim drove to the hospital by himself.
That's the entire story?
Yes. Somebody missed. Somebody was mad enough in the man to shoot at the man with a gun. And they missed 98 times.
And, okay. That seems rather tame, I'm going to be quite honest.
Yeah, there's been a lot where somebody else saw two people fighting on the street, so he just ran them both over.
Now that's more of the Florida I know.
What do you think about Florida, Captain Jackson?
Mostly what you said, but I don't know. I think Florida's interesting to me. It's a very multifaceted state, not excluding the what's practically its own principality of the Disney Empire. We talked about this a lot in private.
The Disney Empire, yes.
The Disney Empire and their business tactics.
The Disney Corporation is evil.
You were telling me about how they handle contractors once.
Oh, yes. So, Disney has a small... Disney effectively controls the area around Disney World. It's called the Reedy Creek Improvement District. They're also practically in charge of another small town or village that they started called Celebration, Florida. If a contractor does shoddy work at a Disney World park, that contractor is banned from ever working again inside the Reedy Creek Improvement District or inside Celebration, Florida. So,
how large of an area is this?
Let me look it up. It's not small at all. It encompasses the entirety of Disney World, which is big in itself. Square miles.
And this reputation probably spreads to the surrounding area of Orlando, I imagine.
Yes. Disney's influence over the Orlando area is huge. There was once a very popular strip mall that the Florida Department of Transportation had to buy out and demolish because too many people were going to Disney World and were getting off of Interstate 4 at that exit to keep up. Like, the interchange was not big enough to handle the traffic.
So they just demolished the mall.
They demolished the mall so they could make a bigger interchange to serve Disney World.
What happened to all the people that used to work at that mall?
Oh, the tenants actually got a rather good deal out of it. They got a pay. They got back pay of like, I think, the Department of Transportation, from what I understand, bought out the mall first. The Department of Transportation had to pay. They paid like $15 million to one tenant. And they had to pay more to the other tenants as well. So they got, in total, multiple millions of dollars. And they had to, they could operate rent-free for 2 years before it was torn down.
That's a pretty good deal.
Yes.
Interestingly enough, you said that Florida isn't one of your favorite states a while back now. Do you have a state ranking that you would like to share with us off the top of your head?
Yeah, I could give you my top five, which will probably change after I finish speaking, but Florida does not make the top five. Illinois makes the bottom five.
Bottom of the top five or the bottom five?
Illinois makes the bottom five. Illinois is about the third worst state. Illinois is the state I hate the third most because it is hell. Second is Alabama, because if you drive through Alabama on Interstate 65, it's 8 hours of absolutely nothing, and everybody there is rather stupid. And rather inbred. No offense to those listeners in Alabama. The next, my most hated state in the entire country. I never actually thought this through.
So you don't have a number zero. I mean, number one worst state. What's your favorite state, though?
My favorite state, this is going to sound like a massive hot take. My favorite state, of the top five states, two are South Dakota and Nebraska. Because there's nothing there, but it is better looking than Illinois. I feel like they are South Dakota, Nebraska, and Iowa. They're all rather underrated states, honestly.
What you said, there's almost nothing in Alabama, and you hate that state.
Well, Alabama isn't beautiful, and there's just a bunch of rednecks. South Dakota, Alabama, there's people you have to deal with, and all the gas stations sucks because they don't care about anything besides making money. They all talk like this. They didn't get past the eighth grade. There's a gas station in Alabama, one of the few gas stations I stopped at. Oh yeah, it's hot all the time too in Alabama, by the way. The gas station I stopped at in Alabama, there was shit on the floor. And Interstate 65 is so bumpy. When my dad was driving to Pensacola, we were going 35 through Birmingham on Interstate 65 to avoid damaging the vehicle. It was physically impossible for you to break the speed limit because the road was in that rough of shape. South Dakota, you don't have to... South Dakota, everybody knows how to, like, actually... People can run a gas station better in South Dakota than Alabama. They could fix roads better in South Dakota than Alabama. And there is nothing there, so I don't have to talk to people. And there are actual redeeming qualities, too, like the Black Hills National Park, or it might be a national forest, or in the case of Nebraska, Scotts Bluff. Scotts Bluff is beautiful. It's literally just a giant thing sticking out of the ground.
Thing? What type of thing? Is it rocky?
It's like a plateau-looking thing. I think there's another one where it's like a rock shaft. We got some small sand dunes by Volo. What? Where is Volo?
Who is Volo?
Isn't... I thought Volo wrote A Guide to Monsters or something. Oh, actually, yeah, I will say Illinois limps out of my bottom five states. Because...
You don't have a number one bottom five. How can you have a bottom five? How can you limp out if you don't even know the state of the bottom five?
Because I... Jackson, I will be honest. I put nothing into preparing this for this program. No offense, but like, I don't think, yes, this is my number five worst state. This is my number one worst state normally. It might actually be California, though, because California is just overrated. But the,
yeah, we're also going to get canceled by Alabama, Mitch. The entire state. They're going to come after Smooth Sailing.
I'm sure. Okay, if the I will stand by the point. Never mind. I probably shouldn't make this work, so I'm not going to say anything. And I was not going to backtrack. I was going to further my point.
Which we're already too far in, but I'll give you an out if you wish to take it.
What?
One viewer wants to know your views on Alaska.
I want to go to Alaska. Because Alaska's like actually cool as hell. Honestly. I'd live in Alaska, but there's no jobs and it costs too much. But like
Alaska?
There's jobs in Alaska, but I'm not sure if any would be like any would apply to me.
Be an Alaskan bush person if you chose to move up to Alaska.
I would not become an Alaskan bush person.
Give us reasons.
So, as much as Alaska is cool, I'm not the outdoorsy type, honestly. And like, hold on, Alaska probably is crappy internet. I'm not the no biggie anymore. That is a good point. But like, I am a stereotypical American. I want to work as little as possible.
True. Alaska does have polar bears, viewer.
Like, I'd visit Alaska, but I wouldn't want to live there unless I could pretty much Kavanaugh's job, so I don't tear myself apart. They have penguins in Alaska. Aren't penguins supposed to be the South Pole?
They exist in both.
Huh? That's not what they teach me in first grade.
No?
Do you think Common Core is a failure, Jackson?
Yeah. There's penguins in Alaska.
Common Core has failed me.
Are you talking about Common Core standards?
Yeah, Common Core standards didn't tell me about the penguins in Alaska. So, the federal government is a failure because they didn't tell me about the northern penguins.
Yeah, right now. Penguins found in Alaskan waters likely reach the northern hemisphere by fishing boats rather than swimming. Yep.
Penguins on the North Pole.
It seems like, correction, there are no, like, naturally occurring species. They've only been invading, if that makes sense. Like Pablo Escobar's hippos. Do you know about that, Mitch?
Yeah, didn't he like hippos or something, and now they're in South America?
Yes, Pablo Escobar imported a couple dozen hippos over to his drug lord state in South America, and they have been, yes, the Colombian hippos, and they have been rapidly multiplying. And the locals don't know how to deal with hippos because they're essentially, if you don't know about hippos, hippos cause more deaths to human than any other animal of their type. And by other type, I mean large animal in Africa, like crocodiles and elephants. Hippos cause more deaths. And they're massively multiplying in Colombia. Yes, they can not only literally bite your head off, they can go through boats, is how I understand it.
Do you think the hippos were planted here by aliens?
No. Actually, do you know the true highest killing animal to mankind, Mitch?
Probably some kind of stupid bug.
Mosquito, yep, Jasmine's right.
Well, it's still a stupid bug.
Yeah, mosquitoes are, quote, stupid bugs. I don't know anyone that likes mosquitoes. I'm going to say it. I know people that are arachnophobes. I'm a slight arachnophobe. I still want spiders around because they kill the mosquitoes.
Mosquitoes are just assholes. I want them all dead. What purpose do they serve in our ecosystem besides being annoying?
I'm sure there's some benefit. Whoever preys on the mosquitoes most likely has benefit from them existing.
Mitch DeCoy.
Yes, prey on mosquitoes.
Yes, Jasmine. I am declaring war against mosquitoes.
This is in Mitchell Hendricks. There's war on mosquitoes. All of them.
Also, for the genetic engineering of mosquitoes to make them not reproduce, which one of our callers has put into the chat here, I would support this. I want it as fast as possible.
The viewer's upset. He's made a quite angry face. The listener has telepathically sent to me a very angry face. It looks sort of like a less than symbol, followed by a colon, followed by the left half of a parenthesis.
Looks like a more than symbol to me.
Is it a greater than? I can't tell. I've never... Yeah. To be honest, I never learned strictly greater than or less than. I always base it on what's surrounding them.
Well, Jackson, the greater side is what the app. That's what we're taught.
I never learned it that way. Speaking of weird animals that can be found in Florida, such as alligators, we're going back to animals now, Mitch. Mitch, you told me you've seen an armadillo before, correct?
Yes.
Were you shocked when you first saw one?
Slightly. I think my dad picked it up and threw it.
Dad threw an armadillo.
He either threw it or kicked it. He did something to get it away from us.
They're massive, though.
This one was kind of small.
I'm not sure, Ben, if they do weigh a lot. That image is that of a raccoon. Mitch, what are your thoughts on raccoons?
Oh, shit. Armadillos are pretty big. I don't think my dad is that ripped.
Your dad's not ripped enough to throw a 54-pound armadillo.
I think it depends on the breed. I'm not going to do armadillo research on the program, though. Raccoons are all right. They could be cute sometimes, but they're also assholes. Do you remember those, do you remember the tree things, like the metal things that used to wrap around tree trunks?
Yes.
I distinctly remember those being part of my childhood, and they don't look great. Raccoons are just assholes, but I don't declare war on raccoons because there are some rather cute Pokemon based on raccoons.
Pokemon?
Yeah, shout out to my boy Zigzagoon. I will send it in the chat so that people can see it.
What can you tell us about Pokemon? You seem to be a Poke enthusiast.
Entirely too much.
Entirely too much. Like, let's go from the most obscure thing you know to the least obscure.
I'm trying to think of the most obscure thing I know. What is the dumbest Pokemon? The one based on vanilla ice cream. Okay, Ben, I will. What about the one that dies when it drops its pants? I want to say that's Scrafty. I'm trying to think of, like, something obscure because the,
Wait, is there really a Pokemon that dies when they drop their pants?
I think let me look it up. Scrafty dies when dropping pants. Oh, yeah.
State Andrews asked, are you a Pokemon fan? Name every Pokemon. Followed by the next question, what about the one that dies when it drops their pants?
I actually don't think Scrafty dies when it does drop its pants. It says it's just dead skin, but why would you walk around with dead skin?
So the pants it wears is dead skin.
Yes.
This is in a Pokemon game.
This is in a Pokemon game. But it's better than the Pokemon Cubone who wears the skull of its dead mother.
This is also in a Pokemon game?
This is also in a Pokemon game. The Pokemon Cubone, his backstory is that his mother died when he was born, so he wears his mother's skull. When it evolves, it fuses with its mother's skull.
Where do you find this information in Pokemon games? Where does it tell you this?
Bulbapedia.
What's Bulbapedia?
It's Wikipedia, but with Pokemon. pretty much.
You find this information.
A lot of people have a lot of time on their hands. So they're like, oh, this is extremely obscure, but people should know this. One of the viewers in our chat is not being very polite to our station manager, but our station manager is not being great either. Please do not remove anybody's kneecaps today. Also, I'm going to circle back real quick to it. Captain Jack asked of me, was the most obscure fact in Pokemon? This is all I could come up with right now. So, in Pokemon Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire, if you go to the Team Magma or the Team Aqua base in those games and you go to a vending machine, from every other vending machine in the region, the prices in the base are lowered by $50 each. So, like, it is cheaper to buy a fresh water from the Team Aqua base than anywhere else in the game. Like, that's, like, the really obscure stuff I like to know about. I just killed the chat.
When did you first look into this extremely obscure information?
I used to doom scroll Bulbapedia in my youth.
Your youth?
Yeah, like when I was like, I think it started around 6th grade. When I was 13, I used to look it up. Jasmine.
Hello, Jasmine. I am a viewer and I have a question for Mitch.
Yes?
Do you think that Pokemon eat other Pokemon?
Yes, they have to. Because like, I think it actually mentions a Pokédex entry. I'm not sure exactly what Pokemon it is, but I think it's some kind of bird. Quote, it snatches a Magikarp meal out of the water. A Magikarp is a, for those who don't know, a Magikarp is kind of like your common fish it's like the Asian carp, but more native of the Pokemon world. They're everywhere and they suck. So, at least one bird Pokemon mentions that it goes down into the water and eats a Magikarp.
So, is there anything ruined by that?
No, I think it's perfectly acceptable to do so, honestly. I like seeing how they are.
Not as cursed. The Jackbox, but that's pretty cursed. Mr. Bilby, our station manager, has just a essentially emote of my face that he has made. God help us all. Mr. Hendricks, moving off of quote Pog Jackson. I know that the timeline for Pokemon is fairly obscure, and you were trying to explain it to me one day. Can you make a second go at that explanation?
I will make an attempt. All right, so the Pokemon timeline is whack. So I'm gonna sort this. So pretty much. Pokemon Gold and Silver for sure occurred in the timeline 2 years after Pokemon Red and Blue, or Red and Green in Japan. So, what ended up happening is, instead of Gen 3 being 2 years after Generation 2, Gen 3 is Ruby and Sapphire, Generation 2 is Gold and Silver. Ruby and Sapphire happens at the same time as Red and Blue, and Diamond and Pearl run at the same time as Gold and Silver. Black and White, if I remember right, are 2 years after Diamond and Pearl. Black 2 and White 2 are 2 years after Black and White. X and Y is 2 years after Black 2 and White 2. And then I think Sun and Moon and all those games are another 2 years after. I'm just not sure about the latest series of games because I haven't looked into that as much. One of our callers has said the region in Pokemon Diamond and Pearl is the best region. I would like to say I respect your opinion, but I do not agree. I think Hoenn is the best region. It has the best starters and has the best soundtrack when put in the context with the rest of the game.
Would claim yourself to be a connoisseur of Pokemon music. I know you are, for sure.
Yes. I honestly watched none of the... One of the callers asked if I cried while watching Pokemon, the first movie, Mewtwo Strikes Back. I did not. However, there is one episode in the recent Pokemon...
Can I interrupt?
Yes.
So... That question has to deal with a scene at the end of the first Pokemon movie in which, famously, the main character, Ash, dies before being brought back to life.
I have a vendetta against Ash Ketchum. I think he is a mediocre trainer at best. What I will say, though...
But he is a heart of gold.
He's pretty all right. There is a set. The only time I've cried during the Pokemon anime, there is one episode in the recent series Sun and Moon. It is episode 8 of season 20. There's a Pokemon called the Stoutland, which is like a big ass dog, and there's a cat named Litten. It's the fire type starter of the Alola region. Stoutland showing Litten how to do stuff. And then what happens, they have the Stoutland die. And it's, like, really depressing. Like, I get chills thinking about it. Like, Stoutland just gets old and dies. And, like, after... Ash Ketchum takes the Stoutland to the Pokemon Center. And Nurse Joy, who was the nurse in the Pokemon Center, is like, There's nothing we can do about it. And then Litten runs back to an old sofa under a bridge the Stoutland was sitting on, and the Stoutland's gone. And there was a tree that had a bunch of... There was a dying tree that had a bunch of leaves falling off of it, and it was all rainy. I would honestly recommend watching it.
Mitch, going off of that dark topic to another dark Pokemon topic, is training Pokemon to battle ethical? And furthermore... Is keeping them in tiny balls ethical?
I would say technically no. However, they don't exist, and if they don't seem to mind, I don't see any problem with it. Like, you have to be a humane trainer, but like, it's slightly better than just stealing a cat off the street and keeping them in a tiny cage, because you could tell at least the Pokemon has some enjoyment out of it. But two chickens cockfighting, they aren't going to have as much fun out of it.
Wow, that gift is something to be seen. But going on, Mitch. Wow, I really am breathless from that. Do you find it kind of funny that the two main professions in the Pokemon franchise that you are allowed to pursue are essentially Colosseum/underground pet battles, or the equivalent of child beauty pageants?
I honestly think there are a lot more viable careers than these two. I just think these two main paths are like, I feel like people could make it better. I feel like Pokemon training, like those two professions are just a rite of passage you do until you're either like 20 and you decide you want to do it for your entire life, or you're 20 and you realize, hey, I hate doing this. I want to settle down and have a wife and kids, because there must be some other jobs besides Pokemon training or Pokemon coordination. Then just there must be jobs besides that, because like how are they supposed to build a bridge? Somebody has to build the route. Somebody has to build the somebody has to build the Pokemon centers these trainers retire to. In fact, the parent, one of the fathers of in the X and Y anime, Clement's father is actually, he owns a hardware store. He runs a small business. Like there's things besides just those two main professions. It's just everybody does it. Does those two, if you know what I mean.
Mitch, I think, what would happen if Pokemon rose up against people whenever he was asking?
So, I think a lot of people would die. Yes, the caller says humans wouldn't stand a chance. The caller is right, because humans depend a lot on Pokemon. Like, a lot of life in the anime relies on humans and Pokemon working in harmony. That's a common theme across all of the games, right? So, who do you think would win? Just, like, some 14-year-old kid who doesn't talk much wearing a baseball cap? Or a literal dragon that can shoot fire at people? Like, I think humans would just get cooked.
Mitch, another viewer is talking about PETA not liking Pokemon. Do you know about PETA? The people with the ethical treatment of animals?
PETA has euthanized more animals than they have actually saved. Fun fact. PETA is an evil company. PETA is an evil group of vegans based out of San Francisco. They are awful. I despise PETA even more. I despise Kroger. If we ever interview a member of PETA on this program, I will personally destroy the hardware used to transmit this radio station, because they are simply, they have too many screws loose. PETA is just blatant propaganda. They have no idea how to, like, do anything. Everybody's insane. There are many PETA members who have caused cats to, like, die because they're like, oh, my little kitten doesn't need to eat meat. It's just, they're all stupid, and they all suck, and they're all evil. PETA is terrible, and I will stand by this. I declare, I will invite any person on PETA to come to my dorm room so we can have a chat. You can't even get past the front door because of COVID precautions. That's all I got on PETA. TLDR, I hate them.
Mitch, I am a bit more familiar than... Mitch, I don't know if we should, but do you want to tell people about New Rich Tech's document or not?
I would rather keep this for a later
date. Okay, let's not describe it. That's ominous. People are going to wonder what that is. But going forward...
I'll just sign up for another interview on your spreadsheet for later in the year so they come back.
We'll do an entire 2 hours where you explain it.
Probably not 2 hours, no. But I don't think we're going to fit it in 15 minutes here.
No. But you know what we can fit into 15 minutes?
What?
Our segment on ghosts. Mr. Hendrix, do ghosts exist?
Yes.
Is MSUE haunted? No, no, Ben, we did... aliens earlier. Mitch insinuated that the square was not invented until 1924 and that the automobile was invented before the square.
Yes.
And also that aliens interfered during the Crusades and during the American Revolution to, quote, give the fruit salad fresh wind.
Yes. I did not insinuate that. That is simply... the truth. I am simply built for tough. I believe in ghosts. I feel like the MSOE campus I have never been in the building. There is one building called the, hold on, Jazz, but now give me a second here. There is one building that everybody says is haunted, but, like, I've never been in it. I can't tell. There's probably some kind of ghost in our lovely science building on campus, which has a very confusing layout. So somebody must have died. I think ghosts exist, but they aren't as coughed up as, like, ghost hunters or anything. Like, they have some influence, like, and then one of the viewers asks, have you ever seen a ghost? I've seen something. I'm not sure if it's a ghost. I'm not sure if it's an angel or something. I know some things happen, like my mom. This is going to get depressing, I'm sorry. The day after my grandpa passed away, he used to tell the story about how rainbows became the sign that Noah wouldn't flood that God wouldn't flood the earth again after Noah's Ark. He used to talk about that. He said he liked all colors. 2 days after he passed away, there was a huge double rainbow a few blocks away from my house. Like, I think ghosts exist. If people die, they at least retain influence over Earth.
Mitch, you want me to ask you something that's off topic to this story?
Yes.
And kind of ruins the tone that you just set and how sweet of a story that is?
Well, how... This is smooth sailing, of course.
Okay, yes, this is smooth sailing. Mitch, indigo is not a real color. Agree or disagree?
I agree. It's not a real color.
Do you want to explain why it's not a real color?
Yes.
Especially of the rainbow?
Actually, I will say... Also, I will tell the... never mind, they fixed it.
Indigo, tell the story.
I will tell the story. Indigo is a color, but indigo isn't the color on the rainbow. Because what happened a while ago, they discovered six colors on the rainbow, but in like the, back then, whoever was doing the rainbow stuff, it might have been Newton.
Newton, and you had to be, I believe it was approved by the Church of England to be to get a doctorate in physics.
Yeah. So there was a bunch of religious stuff going on. There were a bunch of religious connotations behind science at the time. So they found six is the number of imperfection, I think. Yeah. So they found, Isaac Newton found six colors in the rainbow. And pretty much, he had to come up with the seventh color that he just kind of shoved in there so they wouldn't think he was worshiping the devil. So they kind of just slipped in indigo and said there were seven colors of the rainbow to kind of force it to match some kind of religious agenda. Fortunately, they don't really do that these days. But he just invented the color indigo so that he wouldn't get his ass kicked.
And by invented, we mean that it is a shade that doesn't exist.
It is a shade that does exist. It's just not in the rainbow.
It's not one of the primary, like, the big boy colors, for lack of a better word.
It's no red.
Yes.
Is not a, as one of our, as our station manager put it, it is not a Roy G. Biv.
No, it is not. It's a Roy G. Biv.
Biv. But the rainbow is inherently every single color. One of the viewers asks, the rainbow is inherently every single color. Wouldn't you agree? I would honestly disagree. Because in one rainbow, you don't capture the entire range of color. Because then you start getting into brightness and stuff. Like, you know, like, it's, you know, the You know how on Microsoft Paint, if you add a custom color, it brings up the big, it brings up the rainbow line, but it also has a brightness slider? Like, pretty much, rainbows cover some basic colors, like red to violet, but they don't cover any, it doesn't cover pink, and it doesn't cover, like, really dark green, because there's no saturation and there's no brightness on a rainbow, if that makes sense.
It's the frequencies from lowest to highest. It's not necessarily any mixing of the colors.
Yeah.
Which, let's think, I'm trying to think about that now, because I don't know. I think my gut instinct was to trust what you're saying is correct. Maybe it's naturally occurring colors. Maybe that's the best way to put it.
I guess.
Because obviously as you move from red to violet on the spectrum, you go from a very low frequency to a very high frequency, or very low energy to a very high energy. And the rainbow is going from low with red on the top to violet with the highest energy on the bottom. So,
I'll be honest here. I feel like the reason why rainbows. Okay, real quick before I go off on a tangent here, a viewer asks, do rainbows have infrared and ultraviolet? Now, infrared and ultraviolet are forms of light. One gives you sunburn and skin cancer. That's ultraviolet. Infrared turns on your TV. I feel like rainbow.
They do. They do.
Yeah, they do off the ends. Like, if you
can't see them. I mean, we're surrounded by infrared and ultraviolet right now, especially going backwards in the infrared spectrum. That's what radio is.
That's what radio. We are literally infrared right now.
When we're all infrared, no one is.
Good point. So yes, I would agree that infrared is on the spectrum and ultraviolets are on the spectrum. You just don't know because you can't see them. Now see, what I would like to know, when aliens invented color for the world shortly after the 1950s, I'm wondering why they didn't have us be able to see these. I feel like they're severely hampering us.
Mr. Hendricks, are you insinuating that because there are no photographs that are in color prior to the year 1950, even though the first full-length color film came out in 1939, well, I take that back, it wasn't the first, but the Wizard of Oz came out in 1939, Mitch.
Yes. So,
that movie is in color.
In that case, I will say, maybe I have my dates messed up. They must have invented, I think they invented color. I think they did invent color in 1939. It was in its early phases of adoption. They started implementing color on more and more things until they got up until the 50s when it was, into the 60s when color was on everything. But I think the aliens invented color starting in the late 1930s. And they just added it to everything using their magic.
Mitch, top five colors, go.
Okay, number one, dark red. Maroon, kind of like the color that's in my Discord picture. It's like a very dark shade of red, Another one is, my second favorite, is that same dark shade of red, but with a twinge of blue, so it's kind of a purpley color, but mostly red. Slightly different than this one. Third most favorite color is, I don't know, I just like wood grain a lot, if that counts.
That's like kind of a brown. Reddish brown.
Reddish brown, yeah. Fourth favorite color is just standard brown. And my fifth favorite color used to be my top favorite color. Orange. Orange isn't bad, but I feel like as I got older, I kind of mellowed out more. I picked a less aggressive color.
What's your least favorite color?
I would say piss green is... urine green.
Wait, what color do you pee? What do you mean?
I said the wrong color. Urine yellow.
Yeah, I think you should go to the doctor, Mitch.
I said the wrong word. It happens to all of us. Our audience is concerned about about the health of Yeah, they're concerned about my renal health. I said the wrong color because I had a brain fart. I think piss yellow and fecal brown are actually up there on my list of colors. I have to say my least favorite color. My least favorite color is, what's something that's really fake looking?
Mitch, a viewer's asking, would you own a poop brown colored car?
That actually used to be very popular in the 1970s. I'd buy one. I honestly don't have a least favorite color. They're all pretty all right. Like pink, maybe. To an extent, pink is like kind of, pink is a little bit too much for me. Yes, viewer. Somebody asked if I am backtracking on all of my statements. I am. Pink? I feel like you could get... Pink has the weird property where you can't... You can get... It's easier to have too much pink than to have too much yellow.
That is a very controversial statement.
But as one of our viewers said... You must be controversial and divisive.
I think we should leave the viewers on that thought. What do you say, Mr. Foodman himself?
I want to do the outro.
What do you mean, the outro?
You know, the part where it's like, this has been smooth sailing, blah, 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 and then you put on whatever goodbye music you have, which is probably...
Sure, we don't really have an outro. I just kind of did that one week.
Okay.
You can give it an attempt, but I'm going to go after you. The only reason there was an outro last week is I lost the link to the outro song.
Are you taking suggestions for a different outro song?
No, I'm going to use the typical one. Though I really did like Kokomo, and I may switch it to Kokomo in the future.
Hold on, I might have just messed up the bot big time. So, this has been... I've been Mitch Hendricks sitting in for Jackson Detterbeck, who will be interviewed next week. So tune in for that next week at the same time. To listen to Jackson Scamberg talk about Jackson Detterbeck. We heard you like Jackson, so we put more Jacksons into Jackson. I don't know where I went with that. But I've been Mitch Hendricks. I've been happy to be on this program. And hopefully I'll come back in a few months from now for some more alien-related fun.
Why is Alien so popular? Can you explain that?
I don't know. It's just...
Anyways. There we go. If you are is messing with our outro currently, this has been Jackson Gamberg on WJEB Radio 101.1 FM. WJEB, this has been Smooth Sailing. See you back next week at the same time. Bye. There was something going on. Light.